A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. We're with you through until 8 o'clock and we have another busy programme lined up as we look ahead to another exciting few days of sports action. The curtain comes down on another League of Ireland season this Friday night with the last round of Premier Division fixtures taking place. But for Finn Harps, well, there's a massive week ahead with the North West Derby against Derry City tomorrow night and then the two playoff ties next week. We'll hear from both the Derry and Harps camps later on. And there's a massive weekend of Gaelic Games action up ahead for Niamh Connell and Gweedore. The senior footballers will meet again in Sunday's Donegal Senior Championship final replay. And my studio guest tonight is Donegal and Glenfinn senior football player Karen Guthrie, who knows what it takes to win both for club and county. But will the ladies of Termon and Niamh Mura be celebrating come Sunday evening? They have Ulster finals to look forward to at senior and junior championship level. Karen, you're very welcome to The Score.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, Glenfinn, unfortunately not involved in Ulster this year, but for Termon and Niamh Mura, these are exciting times, Karen.
Yeah, it's a fantastic weekend for ladies football and it's brilliant to see the two teams represented in the finals this weekend. There'll be nice buzz about Niamh Mura and Termon this week leading into it and it's great to see the county represented, you know.
And the fact that we have two clubs involved on Sunday in Ulster finals, Karen, that suggests that club football here in Donegal is in a good place.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, I suppose it's reflective at a Wood County level. We've been in a good place, but you like to see the club structures doing well as well and pushing on, you know. And you know, there's no reason why not. You know, we've a good solid club structure that's always been competitive outside of the county, you know, for the last number of years. You look at even what Termon have done, even, you know, before they won All-Ireland, they kind of set the standard there. And since that, you know, Donegal teams have been doing well outside of the county, you know, and I know it's Niamh's first time there, but they have a young side too, and they'll be looking to compete outside of the county for years to come, you would hope.
Yeah, well, we'll be hearing from both Niamh Mura and Termon camps in a few minutes. Your season with Glenfinn, that more or less finished up then when you lost out in the Donegal final to Termon back, what, the beginning of September now. So has it been a case of putting the feet up since then, Karen, or what have you been up to?
Look, it's nice to enjoy a wee bit of downtime too as well. You know, your year's very structured from kind of December onwards, so you enjoy the wee bit of the break as well, you know, and pre-season starts pretty soon again, so you'll be back into it, and it's nice to sit back and enjoy watching it for a change, you know?
I'm sure it is. Well, the Ulster finals are in Killeclacher on Sunday. The senior final at 3 o'clock will see Termon up against Monaghan's Dunnock-Moyne, and before that in the Ulster junior final, Niamh Mura, the Donegal champions, will play Eden Dark at 1 o'clock. Tom Comack has been speaking to Niamh Mura manager Kevin Mout.
Well, Kevin, looking forward to an Ulster final. I'm not sure how high up it was on the priority list at the start of the year, but you're there now anyway.
Oh, we are indeed, Tom. It definitely wasn't on the priority list, that's right. It's just a matter of getting the team together and working with the girls and going from there and just basically get worked out that we're in a county Ulster final now.
Yeah, because there had been in a couple of county finals and it seemed to be kind of a hoodoo to get over that final hurdle, so you took charge of a bunch of girls that, by what I can gather, were pretty focused and they wanted to achieve things.
They did indeed, Tom. They lost three championship finals in the trot, I think 3 years in the trot, and when myself and Neil got involved, we just said, girls, we're going to work hard 100%, change a few things around, and they all got on board and they all trained very, very hard and things just worked out for us.
Winning Donegal obviously was the big thing.
Oh, definitely. That was our goal from the start of the season, to do well in the championship. When we seen the group that we're in, Niamh Columba, Glen Swilly and Red Hughes, we thought we had a chance to come out of the group.
And then the county final, good win on that as well?
A good one. I think we went into the game as underdogs and we got a lucky goal in the first 10-15 minutes and it set us up. As I said to the girls before the game, we don't concede goals the first half, we're in the game. And it worked out for us.
You could have, maybe after winning your first championship, you know yourself, you were involved in teams that won senior championships with Kitty Beggs. The tendency is to maybe, you know, go in and celebrate, but, you know, obviously you were out again in a couple of weeks going to Fermanagh.
I did be well, Tom, as you say yourself. You know, you normally, once you won a county championship, you don't kind of focus on Ulster or whatever the next game is. But these
especially girls, when you win a first one.
Especially when you won a first one, but these girls just decided that they wanted to have a go at Ulster, and we met two very good, as I say to them, they're intermediate teams playing junior football, and we've had two very good games.
Playing Eden Dark from Tyrone, do you know much about them?
Not a lot, Tom, though, to be honest. We had a couple of things about them, you know. I think they have a very good physical team, You know, the midfield, I think, is supposed to be strong. They have a corner forward who scored 116, so when you have a corner forward to get, she's going to have to be watched.
Well, of course, you have your own, shall we say, star players. I know it's a good all-round team, but obviously Roisin Rogers on the Donegal senior squad. So that's an achievement, because Donegal are up there. You have quite a few who have played underage as well.
We have. I think Roisin's an exceptional footballer, to be quite honest. She's only 17. You know, she just, there's no airs and grace about her. She's just complete focused on football, club or county, it doesn't really matter. And I think the likes of Erica Hanna, and you have at least another six or seven girls, Jade O'Donnell, Charlene Shaggy, you know, Katie O'Donnell, you could name the whole lot of them. They're all very, very good players.
Yeah. Have you at any time in the last couple of weeks pinched yourself and says, my God, can't believe where we are?
Well, I have, Tom, to be honest. Like, I think after the county final, you know, even coming out of the county final, I thought, you know, we'll try anyway. And then after the county final, I thought, well, Jesus, we're definitely just thinking, you know, sitting down myself maybe nighttime thinking, you know, well, you know, have we really done this? Are we really going on Ulster for the first time ever? And, you know, it's been going since.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fairy tale, and I suppose you can complete it now on Sunday.
Well, hopefully now come Sunday, we'll definitely, these girls will definitely not give up.
Yeah.
You know, there's 100% in every one of them.
Yeah.
And I say that at the end of the night.
Niamh Mourah manager Kevin White there in conversation with Tom Comack. Karen Guthrie, big day for Niamh Mourah, an exciting time ahead, and really they're reaping the benefits of some wonderful work over recent seasons, particularly at underage level.
Yeah, you can see that now. They've a relatively young squad. I think Eric had said maybe their eldest might have been 24, 25, so it bodes really, really well for the future. And even the players that Kevin talked about there, I've kind of had experience with them through development squads, and even Roisin Rogers through the senior county squad this year, and she's a girl with just massive, massive drive, and I've no doubt that she'll be playing the rest of her career. That's all she wants to do, is play football. She's a fantastic, fantastic girl, and there was one morning, we had early morning training, and she deserves the story to be told, because it was that phenomenal. But we had a 9 o'clock training session on a Saturday morning, and our sessions used to be pretty long on a Saturday. And by the end of it, anyway, it might have been 11 or 12 o'clock by the time we'd finished. And somebody had mentioned that Roisin had been up since 5 o'clock to get a bus to training, just to be there. She'd, whatever way her lifts had been sorted that morning, she hopped on a bus after 5:30 or something, or 5:45, and just to be at training. And the girl has serious drive, and you know, not only her, there's so much talent in Niamh Mourah with the younger girls, like the likes of Jade O'Donnell, Caroline Sharkey, Katie O'Donnell. They all have, Saoirse Boner, they all have, you know, county experience at some level, and that's really important, I think, from a composure perspective, especially on Ulster final day. It's really important, and I think that'll bode well for them.
Yeah, and a real buzz about the club. Big crowd at their semi-final as well.
Yeah, a home draw is massive in Ulster. It really, really is. And you can see even on their Facebook this week, there's a lot of people that have come out to support them, and they've really got on board with it, you know. And I think it's important, because you really don't know if you'll ever make it back to an Ulster final again. You know, it's a huge thing, and it takes a lot of consistency over a long period of time to not only come out of your county, but to win those two or three games in Ulster too as well. And you never know when it's going to happen again, so you just have to enjoy every minute of it, and they certainly are.
You certainly do. That's the voice of Donegal and Glenfinn player Karen Guthrie. You're listening to The Score here on Highland Radio with myself, Jeremy Doherty. We're with you through until 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to go for a quick commercial break. Yeah, the time is 17 minutes past 7. You're tuned to The Score here on Highland Radio. There's action tonight in the Europa League. Rangers are one apiece away at Porto. Wolves won a piece in their game as well at Slovan Bratislava, and Manchester United are one up at Partizan Belgrade. All those games are well into the second half now. Later on at 8 o'clock, Arsenal host Gimeres and Celtic are at home to Lazio. Plenty of action tonight on the European scene. Well, Terman's game against Dunfermline in the Ulster Senior Final brings together two of the heavyweights in provincial football. Terman have come through some very difficult tests on their way to this weekend's decider, and their team captain is Emer Gallagher.
Well, Emer, I suppose the clock is ticking really now at this stage on another Ulster final. What, a sixth for you?
Sixth for me, yeah, and it's fantastic, you know, now coming into Championship week, the week of the Ulster final, so it's always a fantastic week and a lovely build-up. You know, there's a great excitement now and a buzz around the club, and it's just lovely to be part of it for the sixth time.
Well, that's six times in what, 9 years, nine seasons. It's pretty good going.
It definitely is, and you know, whenever you think about my first Ulster final, you know, going into that game whenever I was just 15 years old, and you know, now obviously I've just turned 25, so it's definitely, you know, a 10-year span, and it's been fantastic to be part of this team, and I'm just so glad now we're back in this position again.
And two wins and an All-Ireland in there as well. So.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've had some, you know, tough days, and, you know, obviously we've played Dunamoyne in all of the Ulster finals. So it's just, you know, we know exactly what to expect from them. And I guess, you know, coming in to play them now in 2019, we definitely have another point to prove against them.
And I know yourself and Nicole and Geraldine are still there, and one or two others, but Maureen O'Donnell seems to be here forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a relatively new look team at the same time.
Well, that's it. You know, we have been building here in Termon for the last 3 or 4 years. And I guess coming into the season this year, you know, our main goal was to win Donegal. And I think now we've got a newfound confidence in ourselves because we realise that we can really push on. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't go into this match on Sunday being very positive, because, you know, we've had some great performances and I feel like we still have a lot more to give.
And talk to me about the young girls coming in. Obviously, Evelyn McGinley has joined you this year from Creasla, a huge addition coming into the side.
Oh, Evelyn's been fantastic. She's been a real, real rock there in the back line. And I think she definitely has been the missing player that, you know, we've been waiting on the last few years. And I think she's just really, really bonded well with the whole team, and she's a massive leader for the younger girls as well. But you know, all of the new additions to our team this year, the younger girls that have come up through, they've just really, really proved themselves and have been, you know, the freshness that we've needed to kind of really progress in Donegal this year.
You're probably going to be underdogs, but you won't mind that.
No, we're okay. We're happy enough being the underdogs, since it's a good position to be going into an Ulster final in.
And are you happy with the preparations in the last couple of weeks now since the semi?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. You know, we've been rolling into games one after the other, and there's been a great buzz. You know, training has been very, very exciting, and you know, everyone is competing for places, and it's always a great way to be coming into training knowing that there's going to be a challenge ahead of you.
Are you confident that you can take another title?
I'm hugely confident, and I think we're going into the game in a great position, so who knows what lies ahead.
That's Emer Gallagher there, Tom Comack with the questions. Karen Guthrie, Emer Gallagher's a quality player, and she brings so much experience to that side.
She really, really does, and Emer's just fantastic with the younger girls. You see that, you know, day in, day out, she's a very positive player and a person by nature, and she's great leadership qualities and has been a great servant to Termon for so many years.
And you were saying off air, you marked her in the semi final, or you could say
she marked me.
You, because like she was playing as a full back for Termon that day. But I think things have changed in that respect since.
Yeah, I suppose they've the likes of Emer and Nicole and Evelyn and them can play a multitude of roles, you know, and they're suited to going forward. They've so much strength and power going forward, and Emer and Nicole and Evelyn give you that, I suppose, and it's trying to pick who has to stay back probably and fall back, and none of them probably want to play it too much now at this stage, you know, because they're so good going forward, and they give you a presence around midfield as well going forward, and a wee bit of experience out there. So there's a variety of positions that they could play in reality, you know.
Yeah, but important for them. So much is made of the strength and the quality in their forward line, but their defensive duties are going to be vital on a big occasion, none more so than this Sunday.
Absolutely, and I think that's where they're strongest. You know, Termon have produced so many defenders over the years. You know, you could, as I was saying to you, you could fill two back lines probably with the amount of defenders. You know, you've Niamh Freel as well, and Olive McCafferty, and, you know, Trace McCafferty, she's not there with them now, but they've had quality defenders over the years, and it's that's one area where they're very well structured the way they defend as well. So it makes them even probably harder to break down, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a Termon side that offers a rich blend of experience and youth. Two of the younger players are the Alcorn sisters, the Alcorn cousins, I should say, Emer and Maya.
Maya Alcorn and Emer Alcorn looking ahead to the big Ulster final on Sunday against Dunamoyne. I'll go to you first, Maya. Exciting week.
Definitely very excited. It's a big week. There's a big, great buzz about the club. Everybody's getting in behind us. We had a big breakfast at the club there, and that's what everyone was just saying there in the training. It's a great week. Yeah. We're enjoying the build-up.
Emer, what's it been like for you?
It's been lovely. No, it has been good, and everyone's been getting behind us, and it's been the most enjoyable week so far, because we all just want to get playing on Sunday.
Okay. Well, listen, you're two of the young brigade. And Termon, there's a large number of young players in this group. What's it like for you collectively, along with the older girls, preparing for an Ulster final?
Well, I think because there's so many youngers in the team, there's not that big of a divide between the young and the old. And at this stage, we might only be 17 or 18, but I suppose we're not the young ones anymore. We're kind of becoming some of the senior players. So I think everyone's just together. It doesn't matter about age. Even you have Mo up at the top end of the scale and us maybe down the bottom end, but sure, everyone's equal in our team. So
what's the age difference?
I'll not say. Mo wouldn't be too happy when we say that. She doesn't like when you say it right now.
She'll tell you she's 32.
Oh, that's what she's right, sure.
But listen, Emer, big one in the semi-final. He's had to dig deep against St McCartan's. Do you feel that'll stand to you now, maybe in the final?
I think it will. You know, we all, same as before, the week before that there game, we were all rolling in behind each other and everyone wanted to play the game and fought the hardest on the day. So hopefully we'll do the same again.
How long have you been about the senior panel, Emer?
It's been 4 or 5 years now. Four anyway. So
the Ulster title was your first, sorry, the Donegal title was your first at senior level?
Yeah, that was our first. Yeah. Quite a few years. We were after kind of the big All-Ireland, all their celebrations, so it took a while, but it's class now, after all those years, to get to this stage where we are one again and enjoying it, like everyone wants to be there.
What are you expecting of Dunamoyne?
No, they will be a tight team. We know they're a tight team, and we know how even the older girls that have played them last, like the years they were ahead, they know how good they are, so I'm expecting the same.
It's going to take a big effort, May.
Oh, definitely. But I think we're ready. I think that big effort's now's the time for it. I think this is, people are kind of saying, geez, it's a repeat of the 2014 or so team, but everyone, this is a new team, and I think we're ready for Dunamoyne. They might have the big players, but sure, so do we. And we're ready to give them a good fight and hopefully come out victorious in the day, anyway.
Has training been tight?
Yeah, we chat with Sean about that, but no, I'd say it's good to have the 2 weeks, because the first week we can really get the heads down and dog it out of training, and then the second week maybe lay back and get into tactics. But you always feel good, you feel ready for the games. That's it. Anyway, you'll definitely feel fit enough.
Just finally, then, you get to bring any of the rugby skill net under the gas skill net, do you?
Oh, definitely. Sure, they're interdependent, but I say definitely in training there, I find it difficult to get into the mindset of not passing backwards and getting ahead. So it's been a bit of a difficult transition, but definitely the skills, running forward, running hard, coming into it, trying to just avoid contact at this stage.
Well, listen, you'll need everything at the weekend. Best of luck in the Ulster final, girls, and fingers crossed you take the title back to Donegal.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you.
That's the Alcorn cousins, Emer and Maya, speaking there to Oisin Kelly. Karen, two players who really sound like they're enjoying their football.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. I think it's fantastic just even to interview. I suppose you always have the kind of older players that you always give them the wee bit of coverage, but it's fantastic to see the younger girls, and you just see they're so excited, like they're giggling away and they're just loving life, and that's the way it should be.
And Maya was down with you in work experience.
Yeah,
in Sports,
we had the pleasure of having Maya in for a couple of months with us, and she's such a talented kid. There's no doubt about it. She not only, you know, in sport, she's art, she's drama, she's music. She's got so much in her locker, and Maya's a great kid. She'll do really well no matter what she does. And she was away with the sevens as well, and she done fantastic, you know, with the rugby as well.
So. And she's getting her chance with this Termon team as well. Yeah. No suggestion that you know maybe it's too much for her at this stage. She's still only young.
Yeah, it's hard to get the balance, I suppose. But Maya's a smart kid too, you know, and she's well, and her mum Louise as well. And I suppose they would have, she would be very mindful of her and trying to kind of balance everything and balance her school and her studies. And I suppose that's the trick, trying to get it everything to work in her favour. And the rugby, I suppose, has taken a huge leap in the last couple of years, and there's huge investment in women's rugby. And I think the opportunities are probably a wee bit more opportunistic, maybe going forward and going to college and stuff like that. So it's nice to see her doing well, and at least now she can come back to the Gaelic too as well, and she can keep fit in the off season. So I don't know if the rugby's finished or what stage she's at, but I've no doubt Maya will be delighted to get back and play for her club as well. And she scored a goal against us, I think, in the final. I think she scored one since that, actually, the first round, maybe Clan Éireann or the second round. So she's doing well for Termon as well.
All right, Termon play Donaghmoyne in that senior final on Sunday at 3 o'clock, and before it is Sneave Murrah against Eden Dork at 1 o'clock in the junior final. And you can join the Highland team of Pádraig Hilfirthy and former Donegal senior ladies manager Davy McLaughlin for live coverage online this Sunday. We'll be looking forward to the Donegal senior football final replay between Niamh Connell and Gweedore after this break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny. Christmas Club now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
and you're welcome back to The Score. Last Sunday, Guidoor and Niamh Connell served up a fascinating encounter, which in the end finished level in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship final. Well, have Niamh Connell, the underdogs, missed their chance, and are Guidoor still the favourites to lift the Dr. Maguire? Tom Comack has been speaking to former Niamh Mora player and manager and the Milford senior team manager, Danny O'Donnell.
Well, Danny, first of all, before we look ahead to Sunday, tell me, what did you make of last Sunday?
Yeah, I thought last Sunday was enjoyable, Tom. I know some people probably think, you know, it was a poor game of football and the skill level on show wasn't what you'd expect, but it really was never going to be anything different, you know, because both teams were going to set up the same way. The big question beforehand was, were Glenn Niamh Connell going to throw something different at Guidoor? And they did to an extent. They got stuck into them. They showed a really good attitude in terms of bringing the fight to Guidoor, but they didn't maybe open the game up the way people hoped. So once that happened, both teams kind of played the same style, which meant it was a more of a dour, tactical, but really intense game. You know, I've watched a lot of club football, involved in club football a lot over the years. It was probably the most intense game I've watched in terms of tackling. Boys were putting bodies in the line. And I think, to be honest, Niamh Connell brought that more than Guidoor on the day. I thought their tackle count was high. I thought that they were really in Guidoor's faces. And even there were times when Guidoor passing the ball on, the hit was still coming in after the ball. Not dirty hits at all, but just little nudges, little knocks to say, we're here, we're not going away. So from that point of view, I found it really interesting. And then because the game's always in the balance, it kind of grabs your attention anyway. And once it went down the stretch, you thought, who's going to have the courage to go on and win it? And in those last 5 minutes, it was really Niamh Connell's chance. You know, they had a chance there. They had a lot of possession those last 5 minutes, but didn't take it. But having said that, they were 2 points down. So both teams will be happy coming out of it with a draw, with work to do going into the replay.
I was just going to ask that question. Who would have left Ballybuffet the happiest?
Well, I've no doubt Niamh Connell would have left the happier. You know, because even I was watching their body language after the final whistle and listened to interviews after the game, both teams were disappointed, obviously, not having won. But Niamh Connell looked happy in themselves, as if they'd proven a point to themselves. They were written off all week that nobody gave them a chance to win the county final. So they carried that into the game, and I thought their body language was, look, we've proven now that we can compete with Guidoor. Now we go to town, we do our work during the week, and we come back bigger and better the following week. From a Guidoor point of view, I thought they looked disappointed in themselves. I listened to Kevin Cassidy and Eamon McGee's interviews on TG Care immediately after the game, and the one thing that struck me was they sounded angry. You know, they sounded really, really angry with their performance, which I found interesting, because if they can bottle up that anger and everything else during the week, they're going to come with a real intensity next Sunday. So I've no doubt Niamh Connell were happier in the sense that they believed they got a performance. Guidoor would have been unhappy with their performance, relieved to get a second chance. And when you give the favourites a second chance, they generally take it. But they have work to do, because that Niamh Connell team aren't going to go away. They're not going to change too much for next Sunday.
Who will have learned most from it?
Hard to know who will have learned most from it. I don't think Guidoor will have learned a huge amount, because Guidoor do what they do. You know, they set up the way they set up. They'll be disappointed with some of their performances. I think some of the players alluded to it afterwards, that their own individual performances weren't at the level they hoped they would be at. So in terms of that, they learned a wee bit more about themselves, and they'll learn a lot more about themselves next Sunday. Niamh Connell, I suppose the big thing for them would be the younger lads on the team. You know, your Charles McGuinness, your Jack McKelvey's, your Nathan Burney come off the bench, even young Owen McGettigan. They were exposed to that first real county final experience. So they'll have learned a huge amount from that. They'll also bring a lot of that learning into next Sunday. Your experienced players like Leo and Owen Wade and all these boys, they're going to be there in the middle of it anyway. It's going to be these younger lads like Kieran Thompson. I thought had a fantastic game, particularly when they went toe-to-toe with Owen on kickouts. That was a key moment, a key part of the game for Niamh Connell. So and from that point of view, Guidoor's learning is probably going to come. They're going to find out more about themselves. Whereas for Niamh Connell, it's about the young lads having the confidence now to say, look, we've gone toe-to-toe with Guidoor once. Let's go and do it again and do it better.
Okay, we mentioned last week when we spoke about, you know, could Martin Regan pull a rabbit out of the hat? He did to an extent in the tactics. He probably got the tactical battle right, did he?
Yeah, I would say Martin would be happy enough with the tactical end of things. The one thing we said last week was that they had to bring something different. To me, the difference was attitude. As I said to you earlier, the intensity in the tackle, their work rate. They weren't dropping off to the 45 and saying, come on, get the work, come at us. They were tackling them on the way back to the 45. They were putting body contact on them. They were competing all over the pitch. Now, bar those first 10 minutes, I think Martin would have been really alarmed at things in the first 10 minutes because they couldn't get out of their half. The door squeeze was on and kickouts. But once they got to grips with that, yeah, once they went long and they were able to compete on breaking ball, they were very good. And then, apart from that first 10 minutes where Gidor were in charge, and then maybe the first 10 to 15 minutes of the second half, I thought Ní Chonaill controlled the tempo of the game. I think they were in control of the game for long spells. Now, the big challenge for them is the scoreboard, translating that into scores. So from a tactical point of view, a lot of people talked before the game about the two men inside, the two big boys inside. Ní Chonaill didn't test the Gidor full back line in that sense. The only time that was tested was when there were three or four shots came short. And I think they were happy to have those shots, knowing the big lads were inside. But I think if you put quality ball inside, that will test the team more. Young McGuinness, I thought, did well on the couple of balls he got. He scored a great point in the second half. He won a very good free for them in the first half. So do they mix it up a wee bit more this weekend? They probably have to if they want to win the game.
So looking ahead to Sunday, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting more of the same, to be honest, unless a team gets a goal early. You know, I think even last Sunday, had Gidor taken one of those goal chances early on, it would have created a 4-5 point gap. That draws Ní Chonaill out. All of a sudden, you have a more open game. If that happens, then the other team is going to have to come out and you're going to get that type of game. But as long as it's tight and there's no goals being scored, I think it's going to be something similar to last Sunday. The big question is, what team can improve more? To me, there's more improvement in the Gidor team. Now, is there more improvement in this Gidor team? That's the big question, because during the season, we've probably questioned, are they as good as last year's team or last year's performances? Remember that last year, the bar was so high, they were so good, they were Ulster champions. There's no doubt that they're not the exact same team as last season. And the Kilkerr game is probably a blip in terms of what they've produced up till now. But they have an opportunity now on Sunday to put that to bed and say, look, we're Donegal champions, we're Ulster champions, you've wrote us off. Now we're going to go for it and show you what we're made of. But if they don't do that, then Ní Chonaill are going to be there right at the bitter end.
That's Danny O'Donnell there in conversation with Tom Cormack. Karen Guthrie, interesting views from Danny. He reckons it's still all to play for.
Yeah, it is. I suppose, Glenty's probably had their chance towards the end of the game. And from looking at it, I suppose when the pressure's on and the heat's on, it's very easy to sit on the sideline and say, you should have done this, you should have done that. But I think Glenty's had chances towards the end of it to win the game, and it just probably moments of madness and moments of madness, and that they didn't. But I thought they got all their matchups right on the day. They nullified a lot of the huge threats, you know, that Gidor have, and they've so many that you'd wonder, you know, to get so many of them right on the day. That I thought they did off to a tee, but just that them last couple of minutes, just really that they did the chances and couldn't finish them. You know.
Yeah, and Danny referred to the matchups as well. That's a fascinating part of the game, isn't it? And Martin Regan, the suggestion would be he had his homework well done on Gwydor. We were trying to call the matchups last week on the show with Neil Gallagher and Johnny McCafferty, and the two boys got most of them right, but not all of them right. And that could well be the case again this Sunday.
Yeah. And I suppose the one thing in club football now, it's huge that there's so much, when you're living beside people and you're living in the same parish, and you spend so much time together, so you have all the time in the world to tease out who's right for who. And there's things that you'll see in your own club that other people won't see, you know, and they know, you know, that the mentality of the players, and that's one thing probably Martin has, is that he knows them boys from playing with them, and he knows them so well. He knows them inside out, and he knows their strengths and weaknesses, not only physically but mentally as well, and he knows who's ready for who. So I think he got it spot on.
Injury worries for Gwydor as well, losing two key men last Sunday.
It's for Kieran Gillespie is so disappointing. You'd be just heartbroken for him. You know, it's massive to come back and even to play any part, and then for it to be taken away from you again. Anybody that's been there knows that it is just heartbroken. You know, your heart would sink for him just when you're watching it. And rehab's a long, slow road. You know, and you spend a lot of time on your own, and finally when you get back into the team and back into the mix of everything, and to lose it so quickly again is horrible.
Yeah, and it just happened all of a sudden. He had the ball. He was almost winding up for a shot on goal, and then he just pulled up.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he couldn't even have, you know, like you say, it was just an instant, just a sharp instant, and you wouldn't even have seen how it. And that's how simple it is. You'd such a massive injury could be so simple, just, you know. And with the research behind all of that now, it's horrible to think that it can happen so easily again, you know, because the level of rehab that wouldn't have had maybe 5-10 years ago, they have it so well researched now that they have it absolutely down to a T, and you would just wonder how easily it can happen again, you know.
Big crowd there last Sunday, Karen. You were there as well, among the big attendance. I think the fact that it's not going to be shown live this Sunday might boost the attendance again.
Yeah, hopefully, you know. And there's great atmosphere under the stand there in County Final Day. It's massive, you know. And everybody, you know, soon enough, I suppose, depending on who goes out and goes into Ulster, you'll obviously follow your own club. But for everybody else, for the neutrals, it's nice to still have football to go and watch. And it's enjoyable to sit as a neutral and your heart not to be in your mouth and just enjoy it, you know. So we'll get another day out of it next week.
And who do you fancy this weekend then?
Hard to call. Go for the neighbours, maybe. But
yeah. Are you allowed to do that as a Glenfinnan woman?
No, it's nice. It's nice to be able to watch it as a neutral, as you say. And two solid, two really good teams, and two nice footballing teams. And I know the scoring was low last week, but it was still a really entertaining game, you know.
Well, if you don't make it to Sean McCool Park in Ballybuffet this Sunday, you can join the Highland Sunday Sports team. We'll bring you the build-up, full match coverage and the celebrations. That's if it doesn't go to another replay. On air and online at highlandradio.com. The programme starts at 2 o'clock. The match itself, it throws in at 3 o'clock, and we're looking forward to that. Guidoir against Niamh Connell in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Championship Final replay this coming Sunday. We'll turn our attentions to League of Ireland Soccer after this break. And you're welcome back to The Score, 8:15 on a Thursday evening. Europa League action tonight into the final minutes in the 6 o'clock games. Rangers are one apiece away to Porto into injury time in that one. Wolves down to 10 men, but they're leading at Slovan Bratislava 2-1. And Manchester United, well, it's just finished there. Partizan Belgrade 0, Manchester United 1. Anthony Martial with a penalty just before half time, giving United the victory there. Later on, Celtic play Lazio and Arsenal host Gimeras. Those games kick off in a short time at 8 o'clock. Derry City need just a point from tomorrow night's visit of Finn Harps to finally secure a European place and a top four finish in the Premier Division. City lost out during the week to St Pat's, but they have another chance to earn that elusive point against Harps tomorrow night. Kevin McLaughlin has been speaking to City boss Declan Devine.
Friday night, it's going to be sort of similar because of the fact of everyone say Finn Harps have no team because they've got the playoff next week. Usually, just the mentality. If we have to beat Finn Harps, if it's our first team, the reserve team,
we can't think about Finn Harps. It doesn't matter what team they bring. You know, we have to go out there and for our own sake, just put on a performance. You know, get in the training ground tomorrow morning and put that to bed. You know, and just go and focus on Friday night because we know it's at stake. So, if the boys want to play in Europe, we know what we have to do.
And obviously, you said because it's so early and so quickly, you're probably happy with that you've got a game so quickly.
Yeah, we need it to come quick. And thankfully, there's only a couple of days in it, you know, for another game. So that's probably a blessing that we've got a game so fast.
And obviously, being a derby too, you know, regardless of obviously Europe and all that there, but a derby too is just a big game anyway.
Yeah, it's a big game anyway. So we know they're not going to come and lie down, you know, especially a derby. So we know we have to go to work. There's no getting away from it. We have to get to work. We have to, as I say, we've said a few words in there in the changing room, so it's put to bed now. We move on to tomorrow morning training, and then we go for Friday.
Kevin McLaughlin there in conversation with, well, not Declan Devine, actually the goalkeeper Peter Cherry. My apologies to Peter, speaking ahead of tomorrow night's game. Well, Harps, as the lads referred to there in that interview, they're expected to rest a number of first team players for tomorrow night's game. Ollie Horgan's side are in the playoffs and play their first game in a two-legged final against either Drogheda or Cabinteely on Monday evening. With all that in mind, Ollie Horgan admits that his main focus of attention is firmly on Monday's game.
Yeah, there's no point in, you know, of course we will prepare for Derry and, you know, go and try and get something out of it. But without doubt, our focus is Monday. Jeremy, there's all point of pretending anything different or else I'd be telling you lies about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and the hope was possibly among Harp supporters that Derry would have got the point they needed against St Pat's the other night to secure this European place. Now they have to go get a result against Harps.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's their, if you like, their prerogative. For us, our prerogative is Monday, and I know that sounds, you know, fairly blunt about it, but we've got to have people fit and ready, with a lot of people carrying injuries and knocks, some more long-term than others. And while we will prepare for Derry, and, you know, we watch them on Tuesday, I was in Sligo and watched them in the showgrounds on Saturday, all of that. But given that, there's a couple of players carrying knocks that Friday is too soon, and there's no way we can risk them on Friday, Jim.
Yeah, and when you have injury problems at such a crucial stage of the season, Ollie, it just shows the importance of having a squad and having players that can come in and do a job for you.
Yeah, the one advantage for us is that we don't have any world beaters by any means, and we don't have any players that aren't on the radar. It's a very similar group between 1 to 18 or even 1 to 20. And sometimes that comes into play and it's to your advantage. Sometimes it isn't. You could do with one or two world beaters and maybe the rest, but that'll give the lads a chance tomorrow night. And, they're going into a hugely difficult place to go. We went in there with a full team way back, whenever it was, in the second phase of games and got hammered 4-0 in there. But we have to, we'll go and make it as difficult as we can. However, there's no point in mixing my words that, you know, Monday is more important to us.
Yeah, and still no real idea on who the opposition's going to be in the playoffs. You did suggest last week that Cavan Teely would be certainly able to put it up to Drogheda, and that's exactly the way it's turning out.
Absolutely, yeah. Either of them are going to cause us serious bother, and we'll have a look at them tomorrow night and see who gets through that. Both of them, this will go to the wire, us playing well on Monday and Friday. If we don't play well, it won't get to that. This could go to extra time and penalties with us going well, and we're very aware of the difficulty of the playoff, especially going into through the medium of being second bottom in the Premier Division as opposed to second top in the First Division as we were last year.
Yeah, and one game on a Monday, the second leg then on a Friday, Ollie, so it's going to be two big, big games over a very short space of time.
Yeah, and then you throw tomorrow night's game in the Brandywell, which is tough again. So that's why, you know, there's some lads that kind of play three matches in 7 days. They're carrying injuries. Now, we have a lot of injuries, unfortunately, that may keep lads out of all three games, not just tomorrow night, to put it that way to you. But we will do well to get out of this come Friday week.
There you have it, Van Harps manager Ollie Horgan. Karen, big week ahead for Harps. And as Ollie says, never mind tomorrow night's game against Derry City, Monday night and then Friday week, a two-legged final against either Drogheda or Cavan Teely. The suggestion would be that Drogheda might be the stronger of those two sides.
Yeah, massive, massive week for them. So Senna, I was like, all these interviews, he's a realist, you know, and he doesn't matter about fancy football. He's just as mundane as it has to be, whatever it is, to get a result out of it, you know. And yeah, like you say, I suppose you could have, you know, it's a hard one to call, like you say. They'd probably be looking for maybe Cavan Teely out of it. Even Drogheda are favourites for it, so it'll be an interesting one.
Well, Monday night is the first of the... We'll know who the opposition will be after tomorrow night's game. Drogheda and Cavan Teely locked at one apiece after the first leg. And given that Harps have played Drogheda in a playoff last season as well, it's nothing new for Harps and Harps supporters.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And listen, it's down to, as Alex Ferguson used to say, squeaky bum team now. So we'll see how that plays out for him. It'd be fantastic for them. Yeah.
Tomorrow night's game at the Brandywell kicks off at 7:45, and that's one of five games on what's the closing night of Premier Division fixtures. Bowes play Sligo Rovers. Bowes already qualified into European football, finishing third in the table. Dundalk, the champions, host St Pat's. Shamrock Rovers play Cork City, and Waterford host UCD. All those games tomorrow night are at 7:45. In the Irish League Premiership then, there's a full programme of fixtures on Saturday. We're going to go for another quick commercial break.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny. Christmas Club now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
into the final few minutes of tonight's programme in relation to Gaelic Games fixtures this weekend. Busy programme of fixtures, never mind the Gwydor and Niamh Connell game and the ladies football as well. There's action at under 21 level in Donegal. Championship action has reached the quarter final stages at under 21 and under 21B, and there's matches as well at under 21C. So plenty of football there for supporters to get out and watch. In relation to hurling, busy weekend on the hurling scene at provincial level. There's intermediate club actions reached the semi-final stages. Onrua play Keady, that's the Tyrone champions against the Armagh champions. That's at 2:30 on Saturday in Park Essler. And in Belfast at 2:30, Nivina, the Antrim champions, play Breda of County Down. There's games as well at junior level. And on Sunday in the Ulster Hurling Senior Club Championship, semi-finals and the athletic grounds in Armagh, 12:45. Middletown of Armagh play Slochneil of Derry, and that game will be followed at 2:30 by Ballycran, the Down champions. They're up against Onloy of County Antrim. There's boxing action as well. We shouldn't forget about that. National Senior Championships are on in Dublin on Friday night. There's quarter-final action. Donegal boxers here as well. Matthew McCall of Elise Golden Gloves is up against Conor Renahan of Keady, and Oran Shields, also of Elise, is up against a clean opponent, Rukas Balraconi. Rugby, Donegal Town host Portadown on Saturday in Ulster Provincial 4. And there's athletics as well, plenty happening this weekend. Northern Ireland, Ulster Even Ages Cross Country, that's on in Antrim on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the Dublin Marathon is on. That's the National Marathon Championships as well. So many athletes going up from Donegal to take part in that. Runners on their own and club members as well. Best luck to everybody involved. Donegal is so strong within athletics. And Letterkenny AC running for charity as well. Best luck to them. The High Five for Connell charity. So the hard work is done for those athletes, Karen, at this stage, and a big day for them on Sunday.
God, yeah. And there's so many. Every year there's just more and more people and family and friends and everything doing it. And it's a massive, massive achievement. I could never even consider doing one myself. It's a huge undertaking and a huge achievement even to complete one. And there's people... I work with a woman and she's done 20 out of them, and it's just inspirational stuff. It's brilliant.
It really is. It really is. It's a fantastic event, whether you're taking part or going up to watch. Okay. I've done both.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's highlight of a sporting career that hasn't had many highlights, believe you me.
The buzz is phenomenal. Yeah. Even when you're just supporting them, we were saying, you know, you nearly do as much distance yourself because you're probably at 10-12k by the time you're trying to get to all the supporting points. I was saying you'd need the next time I do it, I'd do it on a bike anyway or something. Yeah. Because
have you done it before, Karen?
No, never. I was up supporting a couple of years ago, and it's a brilliant day. It's so enjoyable. And just to be able to give any wee bit of encouragement to anybody along the route, I think they seem to really appreciate it anyway, and it gives them a wee lift just for a wee minute. And as I say, it's a huge, huge undertaking, and it takes months and months of preparation. And you have to get all the wee facets, just like any other sport, you know, you have to get them right too. Yeah. In preparation. So it's pretty huge.
Talking about taking part in a marathon is one thing, actually going out and doing it is another. So we wish everybody the best of luck in that. Karen, for those who only know you through the football, there's more to Karen Guthrie than that. Your work, you're with the Donegal Sports Partnership. Tell us a wee bit about that.
Yeah, I've been with the Sports Partnership now since 2012. I work in community sports, so the focus is basically in participation sport and physical activity. And we work with a range of target groups, basically just to encourage them to be physically active. So I guess so much of your life is built around elitist or competitive sport, and it's nice to your day-to-day job is participation sport, so you've kind of both spectrums.
Okay, well, it's been fantastic having you in studio tonight, and well done on a great year with Donegal, also champions as well. No joy for Glenfinnan in terms of championship, but listen, as you say, a well-earned break from the club scene, and looking forward to more success, hopefully, in 2020.
Thank you, Jeremy.
That's Karen Guthrie, our special guest tonight, and it's been great having her in studio. And that's about it for tonight's programme. You've been with us for The Score tonight, and our next sport here on Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. From myself, Jeremy Doherty, and thanks again to Karen Guthrie. Have a very good evening.